Part 3. The Third Client. Leonard. Chapter 9. What Silver wanted was a bunker, not a house. Not this house, anyway. With its thin walls, sheets of modern plate glass, and surfaces swept bare. He wanted a burrow, a hole. As usual, his imagination regaled him with all the millions of people across the globe who would kill to have a place like this. A clean water supply, a roof over their heads at all. First world problems, he reminded himself savagely, dumping his bag on the kitchen floor and reaching for the nearest glass. And keep it civil, Silver. Don't drink out of the bottle. Perform your role for the neighbours. He rattled ice into the glass, uncapped a single malt he'd bought with half a thought of trying it on George. He'd entertained all kinds of similar half-thoughts during the long, dull hours of his last assignment. Opening up his life and experiences and letting him in, seeing if he found anything in there he liked. But George, sensibly, had opted for the life he already had. The Silver Fox phone beeped inside its drawer. Silver took it out. A velvety punch of shock went through him. So pleasant in contrast with the frights of his last few days that he pulled a stool from under the table and sat down. He'd scarcely imagined that George would avail himself of the private number he'd scrawled for him on the hotel notepaper, let alone. He tapped the photo of the terraced house that it filled the whole screen, apart from one line for the accompanying text. This one would do. What the devil was that supposed to mean? For a moment, Silver allowed mad ideas to float into his head, along with the smoky fumes from the scotch. Then, the far more likely solution occurred. George, still preoccupied with plans for Oakvale, had taken a picture of one of the more beautiful houses there for his brother, or the council, and messaged it to Silver by mistake. Still, it had been a good moment. Silver pressed his fingers to his lips and stared out of the kitchen window. Mrs. Blake, on her third husband, and assiduously shtupping the delivery guy as often as she could, glared balefully back at him from her own deluxe glazed box across the drive. A single guy who dressed well and kept irregular hours was an obvious threat in these parts. Silver flashed back to Oakvale, with its rattle of vibrant, mixed-bag humanity. He almost texted back, "That one would do indeed." But that would only perpetuate the error, and George would be upset. His scotch glass was empty. When had that happened? Silver, who seldom drank enough to dull the edges of reflex, poured himself another. The truth was that George was better off in his own world, a place of relative safety, even if he'd lived through death and divorce there. The truth was that Silver had fucked up. His assignment, his mission, as his handlers in the other world still insisted on calling the jobs, as if they were back in the 50s and Ian Fleming writing their script, had turned to ash in his hands. No lives had been lost, but that was no credit to Silver. Just timing and dumb luck. When had he lost his nose for rotten intel? Christ almighty, the agency had texted too. Their message hid behind George's like a snake behind a sunny garden wall. Sorry, Sil. We haven't had time to vet this one. So don't take him if you don't like the sound of the gig. Urgent, though. And says he's a friend of Drew Fenchurch. We sure are getting a lot of business out of that firm. Silver poured himself a third. A bad idea for early afternoon, but his guts were twisting, sounds of gunfire ringing in his ears. He made a note of the time and place and hit reply. Yes, I'll take him. Either that or sit and stare at the inside of his head. Any friend of Drew's is a friend of mine. Not wanting to compound his recent screw-ups by drink driving, Silver took a cab to his client's address. He'd sobered up enough, by the halfway point of the journey, to realise that he'd grabbed the wrong hold-all on his way out of the house. He just barely stopped himself from burying his face in his hands. God help him if this John wanted anything fancy. What was the matter with him? For a minute he'd contemplated tossing up the job and sending the cabbie to Knightsbridge instead. But then what? With any luck, George would be way too busy to see him by now, up to his hips in Fenchurch Architects' new concerns. And Silver kept lube in both holdalls. You never knew who you might meet. He sat back and watched the pavements rush by. The house was a plain mid-century villa in Kensal Green. Nothing to write home about, nothing to set off alarms. Silver paid the driver, tipped him to wait 5 minutes after he'd gone inside, and rang the doorbell. 5 minutes was usually enough. By the end of that time, Silver might not be in love with his new client, but he'd know he could get through the deal. If not, a swift exit and agency refund would set things to rights. He seldom had any problems. 6 minutes after entering Leonard Price's home, Silver glanced at the inside of the front door and understood that his luck had run out. The cabbie had been generous, or finishing a cup of tea. The taillights were only now disappearing. Silver damped down his response. Leonard had gone upstairs, allegedly to get changed. Maybe he'd had an unruly kid at some point, or a confused elderly relative, or some other reason for deadlocking the place from the inside. All might yet be well. Setting aside the lager he'd been offered, Silver got quietly to his feet. The fancy lead painting on the living room windows turned out to be steel bars. A lot of houses round here had those, a subtle security measure that wouldn't drag market value down. Silver eased into the kitchen, the rear door solid too, and just as firmly locked. No keys anywhere to be seen. The downstairs bathroom window was a bare handspan, and Silver didn't reckon a cry for help across the bin-lined back alleys would do him any good. Something that didn't feel like fear began to pulsate deep in his throat. A sickness, rather. A tired realisation that the best part of his life might still have been to come. That he might be about to miss it. "Leonard," he said, not turning round, as a hard-muscled shape came to fill the kitchen doorway. "I'll play any games you like, but do not fucking well lock me in." "Noticed that, did you? And here I thought I'd been discreet." The bastard was built like a barn door. Not a door made in a gym and reinforced with steroids. This was serious, hard-worked muscle. Silver noted the distinction, added it to the list of obstacles now lying between him and the outside world. "Why the hell would you want to be discreet? Either you've got a prison guard kink or you want to hurt me. If it's the first, I'll play along. If it's the other, I warn you, Sunbeam, you don't get to my age in this game without learning a few tricks." "Oh, what are you going to do, whore? Pepper spray me to death?" Silver shifted so that his back was against the cabinets. Sometimes the only option left was to fuck your way out. "Okay, big man," he said, letting a conciliatory growl enter his voice. "You've got your whore. I'm on your time. Let me go find some lube and we'll do this." Leonard folded his arms. He looked at Silver as if he'd just found him stuck to the sole of his shoe. "You're disgusting." "Whatever you like. You hired me." "Calling me big man and sunbeam like you know me. Talking about lube like all this is normal or some game. It's not. It's not how decent men behave." Not the time to point out that upright citizens didn't trap whores in their kitchen. "Fair enough. We don't have to talk at all, and I won't call you names. What do you want to do?" "I thought I just wanted to kill you. But I fucked my bitch wife when she turned into some kind of fake man, and I might as well try a real one. I might as well do that first." Ah, shit. Silver just stopped short of slapping himself on the brow. Getting cut off from your gear was one kind of stupidity. Not connecting the dots between clients, not recognising a shared surname, that was a whole different level. "Oh, great," he said. "You're Lenny." And then, because the jig was up, the time for diplomacy over, added with a scapegrace grin, Jamie Price's ugly other half.
That's right. She came home like a hot wind after cleaning out my cash tin so she could have you. Said she was leaving. She went all right, with my boot print on her arse. I nearly snapped her neck.
Silver took a cautious step or two away from him, still covering his back. The kitchen window wasn't barred, and might yield to a whack from a chair, if he could just get clear space and a second. His combat skills were good, but he didn't really want to get into it with a pissed-off career soldier.
Jamie's all right. If you don't like him the way he is now, it's time to let him go.
Chair, sink unit, window. Momentum and angle of strike. Calculations flickering through his mind. Silver lost track of Lenny's face, and his altered tone took him by surprise.
Do you think it's been easy for me?
He got a hand to the back of the chair.
Shit, no. Must have been hell for you at times.
Yeah, it was, I... Suddenly Lenny blew out a breath and let his hands drop to his sides.
Ah, fuck it. You're right. I'm not going to get her back by messing with you, am I?
Not fucking noticeably, no. Silver watched, heart thumping, while Lenny made his way to the back door.
What are you doing? Letting you go, man. I never really meant to hurt you.
I don't think you can let me go now, Lenny. You must know I'm going to tell someone.
Who? The police? Since when do they listen to whores?
They're better these days, and it's sex worker, please, if we're not playing games.
Whatever. Just get out of here before I change my mind.
Silver, in his final piece of stupidity, believed him enough to step towards the door. I'll need my coat and bag.
Oh, yeah, I'll get them. Hang on.
Lenny swung round. Something smashed into Silver's ribs. Dirty kitchen tiles leapt up at him. He grabbed the edge of the sink and broke his fall, half-blocked a neck-break chop. He hit the floor fighting, looking for any spare bit of Lenny fucking Price he could grab. Looking for a ball kick, an eye gouge, a throw. A way back to the world. To Oakvale, to... A boot toe connected with the back of his skull. And his vision exploded in stars. Red, and then a sickening green-tinged blue.
Ah, George, I'll listen next time when you tell me to watch my damn back. I'm sorry.
The blue turned to black and ate him whole.